98 FM.
Tomorrow we need to treat it as a one-off leg game. We're going to make sure we stay in the tie and look forward to trying to get over there with something.
It's the biggest club in Ireland for that to have European football and to be playing European football every year and to be getting through ties. That's what this club should be aiming for.
The buzz around the city, and I remember going back to 2005 when we won the league, and the buzz around the city was huge, but I don't think I've ever seen anything like the way it is now in Cork.
All we can do is from now on is just perform and get the best that we can out of each other, and if we get the points, you never know where we could end up.
When you compare it to what it was the last couple of seasons, it's phenomenal how far we've come.
Yeah, I think I'd get in a bit of trouble today if I told everyone how we're going to set up for one of the biggest games of our season.
Here we go. Now, this is 98FM's League of Ireland podcast with Jamie Moore and Darren Cleary.
Yes, hello there. My name is Jamie Moore. You are very welcome to another episode of 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. Recording this on Thursday morning. Updated after Dundalk's 1-1 draw with Rosenberg in their Champions League qualifier on Wednesday night at Oriel Park. No point in bringing you an interview with Stephen Kenny that we had in yesterday's podcast because the match has in fact happened. But coming up, we are going to still talk all things Europe with men from Shamrock Rovers and Cork City ahead of Thursday night's Europa League second qualifying round first leg games. Shamrock Rovers at home to Mladá Boleslav from the Czech Republic, an 8 p.m. kickoff in Tallaght Stadium, a match I will be covering live for 98FM. We're going to speak to Shamrock Rovers sporting director Stephen MacPhail, as well as attacker Graham Burke, while Cork City at home to AEK Larnaca from Cyprus. That's also an 8 p.m. kickoff in Turner's Cross, and Cork City's goalkeeper Mark McNulty will be here. While our first division focus, we'll chat about three big games involving Dublin clubs this weekend. We're going to speak to Cabinteely's Kevin Knight, UCD's Dan Tobin, and also Shelburne's Adam O'Connor on another big weekend in the first division, with games affecting the promotion race. Two games on Friday at Lone against Cabinteely and Shells against Wexford, while UCD, who are second in the table, travel to Cove Ramblers, who are third, for a 7:15 kickoff on Saturday. The other game in the first division is Longford against Waterford FC. And our tweets of the week are quite hilarious. We will bring you the news of the opposition match report on Rosenberg that someone from Dundalk left on the side of the road. So yeah, well done to Dundalk. A 1-1 draw on Wednesday night. Dave McMillan with the opening goal. Dundalk started the game like a house on fire, conceded a sloppy one. It was actually being put down as an own goal by Brian Gartland just before half time, but overall a good performance from the Lady Whites. They do need to score now in the away leg next Wednesday, but still all to play for in that division. As we've seen with Dundalk last season, if their backs are to the wall, they generally perform. So we're going to kick off this week's League of Ireland podcast here, the updated version on Thursday, and preview with Shamrock Rovers and a big match for them on Thursday night against Mladá Boleslav from the Czech Republic. It's an 8 p.m. kickoff at Tallaght Stadium, Europa League second qualifying round first leg. I'll be covering the game. You can follow our videos and our updates on social media. We're at 98FM Sport on Twitter and Facebook. We'll be on the radio as well from 7 p.m. with the game starting at 8. And yesterday, on Wednesday, our reporter Sean O'Regan spent the day in Tallaght Stadium. In a moment, he'll speak to the Shamrock Rovers attacker Graham Burke. But first, after the head coach Stephen Bradley had to pull out last minute, he was unavailable to the media. His sporting director Stephen MacPhail was a last minute super sub. And here's how Sean and Stephen got on.
Bringing you the best League of Ireland analysis, interviews and build-up every week. 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
Stephen, obviously, last weekend, 9-0 defeat to Celtic. Granted, maybe all the players that were playing against Celtic won't be playing tomorrow, but is there any positives that you can take out of it?
Listen, it was a great experience for our young boys. It was never an issue football-wise. The Celtic knew what team we could put out. It's more of a game that everyone enjoyed. It was a good turnout, green and white everywhere. Two clubs of great respect for each other, obviously. And there was we could take huge things from the game in terms of our young boys and how they can see it for themselves, how proper professionals work and how they play. So it was good standard for our lads to see.
And then looking ahead tomorrow, obviously the first leg was you were away over in Iceland first against Arnhem. Does it make any difference that this time around the first leg is at home?
Yeah, you'd like it the other way around, but there's no issues, nothing you can do about it. We haven't spoken about that as a group, so no, we just gotta focus on being at home tomorrow. I'm sure there's gonna be a great crowd. The fans have been really, really good home and away in the last couple of legs and throughout the season. To be fair to them, they've been excellent. So no, we look forward to it. It doesn't really matter which way it is.
And regarding team news, then, would you be looking at maybe the same 11 that played the second leg here last week?
We'll see. Obviously, we don't want to give our team away, but everyone's fit, everyone's healthy, so we'll we're looking forward to it. Everyone's injury free and looking forward.
And then just Stephen Bradley was very praising about Trevor Clark in recent weeks. Obviously, you shared the same sentiments about that.
Yes, Trevor's done well. Like, listen, he's still very young, still loads to work on. He's obviously got a great future if he keeps his feet in the ground and works his socks off. I think he can definitely work on his game. But yeah, he's a good, big future, like a lot of our lads have, you know.
And then here, seeing as the first leg is at home tomorrow evening, obviously unbeaten here in the last 11 home matches, how important is Tallaght Stadium to be really kind of a fortress for Rovers?
Yeah, we felt and spoke at the start of the season that we had to make it like that, you know. I think the last couple of years, it's not been like that. We've been quite soft here. So, yeah, as you said, we've got really good, 11 games unbeaten here. It sounds okay, but tomorrow we need to treat it as a one-off leg game. We've got to make sure we stay in the tie and look forward to trying to get over there with something.
And yes, yeah, you have been winning, but in the last five matches, I think it's only been 4 goals that you scored. Is that a worry, maybe? I know you're getting the results, but the fact that you're not finding the net maybe a bit more often?
No, we don't think that's too much of an issue. We try and be solid in the last few weeks, and it's helped. A couple of clean sheets last week were huge, in Europe especially. It's not many teams have done that. So, no, we don't look to... We know we can try create chances. We've got people on the pitch that will score goals.
And then just finally, Roberto Lopez was on the show with us last week, and he was saying about video analysis. How important is video analysis, especially for a team like tomorrow night against Boleslav, that probably you haven't seen much of?
Yeah, we've gave the boys a video yesterday and a video today on them, and just get a feel for where they are. We didn't know too much about them over the last week, but we do now. We've had a good study of them. I think the lads are prepared. You don't overanalyse, but you don't under either. You need to know a bit about them. So the lads will be prepared and look forward to the game, really.
Steve McPhail, thanks very much, and right, best of luck tomorrow. So let's be joined by Shamrock Rovers' Graham Burke ahead of the European qualifier tomorrow evening in Tallaght. Obviously, your goal is the reason why we're here today, ensured the victory against Stjarnan. How happy are you with the European performance to date?
Yeah, I think the last round went very well for us, going to Iceland and winning the game in Iceland, which was it's very difficult to go away from home and to win a game in a European tie and to score and keep a clean sheet was great. And the job was only half done, and then we came home and keeping a clean sheet and scoring again, going through, is massive for the club.
And have you seen much of tomorrow's opposition?
Yeah, well, they're in pre-season at the moment, so we have some of their pre-season games to look at them, and we watch them. They're very good side. They have a lot of big boys. They're quite physical, and tomorrow should be a good game.
And from your own point of view, obviously playing, you're kind of dropped back into that number 10 role. How are you finding it?
Yeah, that's where I want to play. That's where I feel most comfortable, is in playing my football. That's where I played when I started football and coming up as a schoolboy. That's where I played, so I'm really enjoying playing now.
And you weren't involved back in 2011-2012 here for the Europa League, when obviously Tottenham and Rubin Kazan all came over. How important would it be for Shamrock Rovers to have European football back here in Tallaght?
Of course, it's massive to have it, like, for the club, like, to get the fans all down here to cheer on the team, and financially how big it is for Irish clubs, and then for the club likes of Rovers, it's the biggest club in Ireland, for that to have European football and to be playing European football every year and to be getting through ties. That's what this club should be aiming for, is to play big, massive European nights.
And then, obviously, you didn't play against Celtic there over the weekend. Kind of not a weakened squad, but maybe not the starters that we're playing tomorrow evening. Was it tough watching? Obviously, 9-0 wasn't the best preparation going into a European match.
Yeah, it was tough. They had a fully strengthened team out against us because they play Linfield, I think, it's sometime this week, so they're preparing for that.
Burnley next week then, you would want to be playing against Premier League opposition regardless of how tomorrow night or the second leg goes.
Yeah, we're playing Burnley on Friday night, I think, like, it may be the same way as because the boys, they'll be playing on Thursday, so I think it'd be very hard to go Thursday, Friday when we got another round of European football coming up, so I reckon it'd be the likes of the way it was probably against Celtic.
And then just finally, obviously, your goal against Stjarnan, big moment for yourself, and your performance over the season so far have been good. One thing that's kind of raised a few eyebrows is maybe discipline. Is that something going forward that you might need to work on?
Yeah, of course. Like, obviously, I've been sent off twice this year. I've missed six games. Six games are a lot of games to miss, and that's only down to myself. There's nobody else to blame for that. Like, they weren't like decisions where you'd say, oh, he was unlucky there. They were blatant like red cards, and that's something I have to work on, and something that I am working on is to try and keep me cool and try not to lose the head and kick out rashly.
Missing six games, it's a good chunk of the season to miss. Would you be off to your full fitness probably starting tomorrow evening? Do you kind of feel maybe out of the loop then when you're out for six matches like that, or still firmly part of the team?
No, it's because you're training constantly with the boys and you feel involved in it. You travel to every game, you're watching every game, you're in the dressing room, you're around the lads, so you're not really like away from a kind of way. And fitness wise, like, I feel very fit, you know, missing them games. I don't think it's done anything to my fitness, because I work hard when I'm not playing to keep myself in tip-top shape. And last Thursday when we played against Ting, I felt fine.
So, Graham Burke, thanks very much and best luck tomorrow.
Cheers, thank you.
That's on Thursday night, a game, as I mentioned, we will be covering live on 98FM. And Darren, after Shamrock Rovers' big win last week, two clean sheets in both games, two 1-0 victories, Graham Burke and Brandon Mide particularly in sparkling form. Tomer Chensinski, the goalkeeper as well, has been in great form. I know you spoke to him recently about joking with FC Santa Claus, but Stephen Bradley said when he signed him to me that he was the best goalkeeper in the league. And even I was at the game last Thursday, people who would have seen Soccer Republic, it was also obviously on the TV on Air Sport, made a couple of fantastic saves, and I think he could be an important one for him to keep in form. He will be certainly for these couple of games.
Yeah, he's a brilliant shot stopper, and I suppose like any goalkeeper, there's one or two mistakes in his game, but he's Stephen made the point that he thinks he's the strongest goalkeeper in the league, and he certainly played a big part in Shamrock Rovers' revival. Keeping two clean sheets in Europe, Jamie, is not an easy thing to do, as we both know. There are not many Irish clubs that will do it. I mean, you look at what happened Derry, you see the quality of the opposition and that teams are facing in these games. So Chensinski obviously played a massive role in Rovers keeping a clean sheet, and it's a positive to see, because I think they are starting to take shape. They have been criticised on this podcast and in other media outlets this season because they have struggled at times and maybe are not where they want to be at the start of the season. Stephen had an awful lot of talk about, you know, challenging for the league and being in Europe, and that hasn't really panned out in the way they would have wanted to. Yes, they're pushing up now, and I think a lot of the recent revival is down to a decent defensive setup and the fact that Chensinski is playing well. Something we should talk about as well before we finish up this afternoon is the mid-season friendlies. There's a whole lot of talk about them at the moment.
There are some on our tweets of the week as well, because yes, Rovers beaten 9-0 by Celtic
and to put some context in that, I think it's very important to do. So that's what we're going to do later on in the podcast. We're going to explain our take on why obviously we see the value in those games and maybe not the value in the results, and I think people need to take them with a little bit of a pinch of salt.
Yeah, that game kicks off Tallaght Stadium on Thursday evening. It's Shamrock Rovers against Mladá Boleslav, an 8 p.m. kickoff. At 8 p.m. a little bit further down the road in Turners Cross in Cork, there will be 7,000 screaming Revel fans there to watch them against AEK Larnaca. That game's at 8 in Turner's Cross, and we're delighted to welcome the man who has proved so far, we spoke about Tomer Chensinski, that he is the best goalkeeper in the league, conceded just 10 league goals in 20 league matches so far this season. Cork City flying in the league and of course hoping to make it to the next round of the Europa League qualifiers. Mark McNulty, welcome to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast for the first time. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, Jamie. Thanks very much.
Now, Mark, before we speak about the Europa League, I mentioned there in my introduction to you, best goalkeeper in the league in terms of goals conceded, just 10 let in 20 games. Mark, the team have won 19 from 20, unbeaten, and you've been the man at the back. And even though the team have been doing so well, you have at times been called in to make some super saves, and you've been in quite good form.
Yeah, to be fair, you know, I just think I've kept on for over the last couple of years. You know, working very hard in training with Phil Harrington, and you know, keeps on our toes, and no matter how good you're doing, like, he'll always work you hard. And you know, thankfully I'm getting my rewards from that. You know, I'm a fit boy, you know, I keep fit, I look after myself, and thankfully on the pitch it's showing. You know, like you say, it's 10 clean sheets from 20 games this season. We've only conceded 10 goals, so yeah, I suppose things are going very well for us.
And they're also going very well in Europe, Mark, particularly the home game last weekend after a good away result, to win well at home. Shawnee Maguire getting a hat-trick in front of the shed in the second half, and you really won that first leg game, or the first qualifying round over the two legs, very convincingly in the end.
Yeah, you know, I suppose when you look at the aggregate score, it looks nice, alright, you know, 6-2, but you know, they put it up to us in the second leg in Turner's Cross. You know, I think a lot of people, especially outside of Cork, will probably think it was going to be an easy game for us, but you know, we watch videos on them we knew how tough it would be. And, you know, obviously the first leg over there to win 2-0 was obviously a great thing for us. But we knew coming to the second, like, how tough they'd be. And, just, you know, we were thinking, like, if they get a goal back here, you know, the game's on again. And they did. But thankfully, like you say, we've got a player like Sean McGuire that can turn it on and, you know, bang in a hat-trick there in the second half for us. And looked like then we went through fairly comfortably. But it was a tough game. And, you know, listen, come tomorrow night, it's going to be another tough game. But hopefully we can do the business.
Yeah, in the end they finished Cork 4, Levadia Tallinn 2. But Mark, the opposition team did go 1-0 up and then 2-1 up. And given the way the away leg had gone, was there a small sense of nerves until you managed to level? And once you got that second goal, it really would have settled any maybe doubts that were in your head?
Yeah, you know, obviously going 1-0 down, you're thinking like, oh, like, you know, it's quite in the crowd, I suppose, for a small bit. But then again, you know, Carl Shepherd popped up with 5 minutes to go before half-time and got the equaliser for us, you know. And then, as you say, we got 2-1 down. But thankfully, as I said earlier, we got Sean McGuire, you know, he banged in a hat-trick and it looked fairly comfortable in the end. But it was a sticky game and, you know, it's not like us to concede two goals in a game. So obviously we were a bit disappointed in that. But listen, when you've got players like Carl Shepherd, you've got Sean McGuire, you've got Stephen Dooley, you know, we've always got a chance. And like I say, to score 4 goals in a European game is always good. And, you know, thankfully, like I say, we go through 6-2 in aggregate and we look to Thursday night now, which is a huge game against Larnaca. And, you know, there's some quality players in the team. It's going to be a very tough game. And, you know, we'll try to do our best tomorrow night, which will be probably in front of a full crowd again tomorrow night in Turner's Cross, and, you know, bring the game to them and hopefully get a good result and bring it over to Cyprus and hopefully win the tie.
Yes, whoever negotiated, namely John Caulfield, I would assume that Sean McGuire was to be able to stay for these two Europa League rounds, is a genius because he's been so good. And before we just talk about the next leg, which is on Thursday in Turner's Cross against AEK Larnaca from Cyprus, Mark, your manager John Caulfield has spoken in the media this week about the atmosphere last week, and I know you guys, you know, are used to playing in front of big crowds at Turner's Cross, but I wasn't at the match on Thursday. I was actually at the Shamrock Rovers game, but by all accounts, the atmosphere again, red hot, which I'm sure is a big help to the players. And when you're standing in goal defending that shed end, you can hear them all screaming behind you, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously great down in Cork, you know, to be fair, whenever you're doing well, you always get huge crowds. And thankfully for us this season, it's been going very well for us and the crowds have been coming, you know. I think you're probably talking 4,500, probably your least attendance we've had this season in a home game. You know, I think it was 6,500 there last Thursday night, and obviously you're coming out an hour before the game for your warm up, and I think there's 3,500-4,000 at the game, and you know, you can feel the buzz around the ground, and obviously the players feed off that, and you know, then you come out to start the game, it's a full house, the crowd is going nuts, I suppose, in a way, and you know, it does drive you on, and thankfully, you know, especially in the second half when we're going to the shed end, they really cheered us on and got us going, and like I said, thankfully we picked up. Was it 3 goals in the second half, Sean? We're a hat-trick to win the game. And there'd be no doubt it'd be the same tomorrow night. You know, you go, it's probably going to be another beautiful day down here in Cork. And, you know, have another 6,500-7,000 people at the game. And they're willing us to win and willing us to score. So, listen, we hope we go out, we try to please them. You know, thankfully, we've done that a lot this year and pleased the fans and made them go home happy. And, you know, hopefully we can do the same tomorrow night.
Mark, since you've been a Cork player, which is a long time now, has confidence ever been higher in the squad?
I wouldn't think so, to be honest. You know, we were only talking about recently, you know, the buzz around the city, and I remember going back to 2005 when we won the league and the buzz around the city was huge, but I don't think I've ever seen anything to like the way it is now in Cork. You know, I know it probably helps when you've won 19 out of 20 games, it probably helps, you know, but it's huge in Cork at the moment, and as I say, it's in the dressing room, the atmosphere in the dressing room is outstanding, and you know, everyone's loving to come to training every morning, you know, looking forward to games on Friday nights and like that. Like we've a big European games coming up now, but then again we've Braid on Sunday, which is another tough league game. But listen, leave the games keep coming ticking fast, and hopefully we keep winning and, you know, keep the buzz, keep the fans coming back to the games, and you know, hopefully there's a few trophies there for the end of the season.
I'm sure there will definitely be a league trophy at the very least. Mark, is the atmosphere in the European week in Cork City itself any different to a league week? Like we spoke, I bumped into Conor McCormack just out shopping a couple of weeks ago, and he was just saying that he's played for a number of League of Ireland clubs around the league, but nothing compares to the atmosphere in Turner's Cross, but also just that you guys are heroes in Cork City. If you're out for a coffee or out with your missus, yeah, or out walking the dog, the fans want to talk to you, want to take selfies, and I'm sure in a big European week that just bigs up even more.
Oh, it does, yeah. Like you look at like in a normal league game, league week, you know, you probably wouldn't have 2-3 days before the game that the stadium is sold out. And obviously when it comes to European games, I think as soon as we got through last Thursday night, I think there was 3,000 or 4,000 tickets sold within a few days, you know. So that's obviously the main factor, you know, the people around Cork want to come out and watch European football, and so thankfully that's what we've given them over the last few years, you know. especially last year. We've had a great run in Europe, and the buzz throughout the whole campaign last year was outstanding, and so far it's been so good. So far so good for us, you know, like two big games we played already in Europe. We won both games. The crowds have been outstanding, even over when we were away in the first leg in Estonia. The crowd was very good for us, and obviously come back to Turner's Cross, have 7,000, and you look at then 2-3 days before the game again, and it's sold out again. So, you know, it's the buzz around the city is massive, and like you say, you walk around Cork as a Cork City player, and it seems to be everyone seems to know who you are, and like you say, one selfies and one pictures and stuff like that, which obviously it's good for you as a player, you know, you enjoy that, like, and I suppose a European week is a massive week, but I suppose at the end of the day, it's the bread and butter is the league. For me, all I want is that league trophy at the end of the season, you know. I'd like to get obviously a good European one, but at the end of the day, the bread and butter is the league, and that's what I want.
Mark, we mentioned at the start of the podcast having a joke that one of the Dundalk opposition reports on Rosenberg was left on the side of a motorway and managed to find its way onto social media, and they had bits about Nicholas Bentner being slow and all of the above. I'm sure that hasn't happened in Cork, Mark, but just tell me what you know about AEK Larnaca. I've just looked up their results from the previous round of the qualifiers. They're from Cyprus. They beat the Lincoln Red Imps 5-0 in the second leg, 1-1 in the first leg, the Lincoln Red Imps from Gibraltar. So they've had another comprehensive win themselves, scored some goals. What do you know about the opposition team you're going to face in the first leg on Thursday night?
They like to keep the ball, to be fair. They've a lot of Spaniards in the team, and you know, like, you look at the calibre of players they have, you know, they've got all the players nearly have all played in the La Liga in Spain, you know, they've got hundreds of appearances behind them playing for Atletico Madrid, Celta Vigo and all these. So obviously these boys are going to be serious players. They're good at keeping the ball, they're quick, they're strong. But listen, at the end of the day, when we looked at the Estonian crowd, we thought the same. We thought they looked good, they looked strong, they have a couple of internationals in the team. Listen, it's a European game, you don't know what you're going to get until the day, really, you know. So listen, while we'll obviously respect them, you know, they're obviously a top side, but we won't fear them. We'll go out and we'll try to do our business and try to do what we need to work on and do how we can hurt them, and hopefully that's enough and that we can go and win the game.
Yeah, they finished second in their national league the last three seasons in a row. So a little bit of a similar story to Cork, and their season doesn't actually start just yet. Their first league game is not actually until the 18th of August, Mark. I know they've had the Europa League two games last round and some friendly games, but does the fact you guys are 20 games into a league season and that you've been so good and they're clearly not at the same level of fitness given the stage they are in their own season, will that be an additional help, particularly if it's a tight game that may need something in the later minutes of either one, that yourselves are kind of in the full of your fitness?
Yeah, definitely. When you look at it, I think us, the summer football really suits us, you know, as in League of Ireland clubs in Europe. It really helps us, you know. It'd be very tough for a League of Ireland club maybe to go into Europe if you haven't played a league game yet, but like you said, thankfully we've 20 league games under our belt, we're all flying fit, we're all ready to go. Might be a bit different for them, you know, they're still in kind of pre-season mode. While they'll be fit and they'll be strong and they'll be decent, they're still in pre-season mode, so listen, hopefully that will help us, but we won't be taking that as an excuse, you know. We want to go and do as well as we can and obviously get through to the next round. While it will be tough, that's our aim.
And aims beyond that, Mark, I know you want to focus on the next match and this round, but is there thoughts yet of what might be if you can get through this round? We've obviously seen the story of Dundalk and we know how good this Cork City team are and have been. Is there thoughts in your own head yet of what could be, because the momentum at the club at the minute is so high that if you get through one more round, you know, you're very, very close?
Yeah, as a club and as players ourselves, our aim is to go as far as we can in Europe. But the only thing is, you don't know what you're going to come up against in Europe. You know, you've never heard of some teams that could be outstanding. You've obviously heard of some top teams that might be as great as what they once were. So you don't really know what you want to get in Europe. But like I said, our aim now is just focus on tomorrow night, Thursday night, and try to pick up a good result and go back to Cyprus and hopefully hang on and get the win and go through. Because obviously when you get to the third round, there's some massive clubs. I see there's some massive clubs in the draw for the next round. You know, you've got your likes of AC Milan, you've got your likes of Everton and these teams that are holding the draw if you get through, you know. So obviously it'd be great to get through. Hopefully we will get through and pick up a big team. You know, sometimes, you know, the fans will want to see the big teams coming over. But listen, you don't know. We just hope that we can go and pick up a result on Thursday night and go to the second leg and hopefully do the same and see where that takes us.
Mark, very finally, I got a huge amount of stick last year around the FAI Cup final. When I said on the sports programme here, and that's what I call sport, that I thought Sean Maguire could have a key role to play in the FAI Cup final. Sean scored the winner, of course, in extra time against Dundalk, but my mates were all slagging me, saying, well, sure, of course, he's going to play a key role. He's a striker, so I was getting stick for trying to be Mystic Meg, but this will be his last home match for Cork City, along with teammate Kevin O'Connor. Just have a little feeling again that Sean will want to end his whole career at Cork with some important goals in Europe, and given his current form, 19 league goals after just over half the season, and goals in Europe this season and last season, you wouldn't bet against him, Mark?
No, not at all, to be fair. Like Sean, whenever he plays, no matter who he plays against, he wants to score goals. You know, I know he's a striker and that's what you're there for, but I've never seen a fella so determined to score goals. You know, he's disappointed. He'd come off after a game and have an outstanding game, but he's disappointed he hasn't scored. You know, he goes into every game trying to score goals, and no doubt tomorrow night's going to be the same. Like you say, it's his last home game for Cork City. And listen, I think he'd love nothing better than to bang in a few goals tomorrow night and give the Cork fans a good sending off.
Mark McNulty, Cork City goalkeeper, thanks a million for your time the day before the game, and the very best of luck in these couple of legs and for the rest of the season as well. Mark, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Jamie. All the best, bud. Cheers.
Cork City goalkeeper Mark McNulty. Darren, the manager John Caulfield has spoken in the newspapers this week and in his press conference at the weekend about Turner's Cross itself and just about the atmosphere. And last week's game just looked absolutely incredible. Sean Maguire getting a hat-trick in front of the shed. 7,000 people there to be there again this week. It just shows, and we've said this quite a lot, what the League of Ireland can do when you get a team playing well and you get people who want to support it, because that atmosphere in Turner's Cross the other day was described as red hot. If you were attacking the shed end, you literally could not hear yourself, and it's just unbelievable. And it does help the players, definitely. If you're under pressure and you hear those fans screaming for you, it'll be the same for Dundalk. Shamrock Rovers probably have about 4,000 at their match, but Turner's Cross, when it's full, best stadium in the country by an absolute mile.
Well, it just goes to show that regional football is very, very important. It's similar up in Derry and the Northwest. It's important that people have a club like that. The biggest problem with the low attendances in Dublin is probably that we're oversaturated in terms of the amount of clubs. We've got 4 clubs in Dublin, 5 clubs, 6 clubs. I've lost track when you tackle Cavan Teely, and then you have Braid, and you know, a couple of Dart stops away. I think even when Cork weren't a successful operation, when they were finding their feet, coming back from the brink of financial ruin and rebranding and getting back on the football pyramid, they still attracted a devoted and loyal band of fans. It is great to see, though, that they are back in glory days and are bringing with them all of those fans, because football brings a feel-good factor to this country like no other sport does. You know, when Ireland are involved in something major, I think football is the game of the people. And I would love to give you the answers of why Cork is absolutely teeming at the moment and why people are flooding through the gates and they probably have to turn people away for big European nights. I'd love to explain why it's happening in Dundalk and why it's never really happened at Rovers and Bows and Chelsea.
Yeah, well, for example, Talis Stadium won't be full on Thursday.
Yeah.
It'll be nearly full, but there will be empty seats. It won't be full. And it was full
for
to
Celtic.
Watch Celtic against... Yeah, anyway, we'll discuss
with
that.
With two trialists and the rest are under 17s. That's something we'll come to in a few minutes.
Yes. Now, we've got to move on before we speak about the First Division. The Premier Division last week, Darren, lots of different games. There was two on Friday and two on Sunday. Drogheda nil, Finn Harps 2. A huge win for Finn Harps and their manager, Ollie Horgan. It moves them outside the relegation zone. They're now on 21 points. They're only 2 points ahead of Galway. But still a big, big win for them. Drogheda looked doomed. To be honest, they've only won 4 games all season. And even though they're on 17 points, a win could get them out of the bottom three. Yeah, things don't look too good there. They announced the signing this week of Sean Russell, son of former Limerick and UCD manager Martin Russell, a very good left-footed player. The other game at the bottom, Darren, Galway 3, Limerick 1. Massive win for Shane Keegan and his team. Ronan Murray, Porrick Cunningham and Owen McCormick with the goal. Ronan Murray's strike was absolutely fantastic.
Finally a bit of luck for them as well, Jamie. Because they have been, every time I've talked to Shane Keegan, every time he does that little bit in Soccer Republic, he says...
Bit of luck, set pieces.
A little bit of luck, set pieces. Mistakes have killed them. I remember talking to him about before they played Pats a couple of weeks ago, and we actually mentioned, you know, Pats inconsistent. They'll either go out and win 1-0 or get beat 4-0. You know, what's going on? And he'd say to you, well, it's just luck. You could change either side. It wouldn't make a difference because we're the very same. We've struggled in the same way for consistency. But
some important results on Sunday as well, Darren, on the bottom, if you want to bring us through those. Cork against Pats and Derry v Sligo.
Well, yeah, Derry absolutely battered Sligo. That was a really, really comfortable 4-0 win. Sligo, it's not looking good for them. The manager,
they're not doing well under the new manager at all, and, Gerard Little.
Yeah, but the funny thing is he made some comments afterwards where he talked about you can't coach commitment and you can't coach bravery.
That's
and you
problem.
Can't coach trying. So I'm not so sure the group of players there, they've had it pretty easy for a long time. They blamed someone else. He went in there with a really good approach. Very impressive when we spoke to him on the podcast. He comes with very good pedigree, and people who've worked with him will tell you that he's seen as a guy who has high hopes and can really transform the culture. I think he needs to do a Stephen Bradley style clear out. When Stephen Bradley got to Shamrock Rovers, he quickly moved with getting rid of the dead weight and making sure that they were a club that could build. And Gerard Little needs to do something similar at Sligo, because I think he's got a poor group of players with a bad attitude, and like he says himself, there's very little he can do with that.
And just on Derry having been absolutely hammered and probably embarrassed, if we're totally honest, in Derry,
10-2
on
over two games.
Qualifier, beaten 10-2 to bounce back 4-0 back in McGinn Park, a big win for them. Lucas Schubert, Ronan Curtis, Aaron McAniff and Rory Holden with the goals. And that was a big win for Derry, because it keeps them right on the coattails of Bray and Shamrock Rovers, just ahead of them in the league, and their focus is now only on the league, and you would see them pushing for the top three all the way. And Cork, Sean Maguire, last home league game, and he scores from a penalty to help them win 1-0 against Pats in Turner's Cross, and there was a red card for a Pats debutant, Darren.
The question is, what did Owen Garvin do to get that red card? There was some kind of incident, we understand, in the tunnel. I've talked to a couple of people. No one really knows if the severity or actually what happened. They don't know, they don't want to say. But yeah, sent off for a half-time incident altercation, we understand, and pretty much the worst possible debut to leave your team down to 10 men. And then it's the kind of game you just... Poor Pats, it could only happen to them. Lose 1-0 to a quality Cork side. It's going to be decided from the penalty spot. They look out of luck at the moment. They still have a chance. You know, they're 3 points from safety. They can probably turn things around. They've also played one less game than Drogheda, which gives them a decent chance. But you just wonder, we talk about luck, and in some ways you make your own luck. And I'm starting to fear every time we talk to someone from St. Pat's, they're a little bit too laid back for the situation they're in. They're losing almost every week. Yes, they're playing well in patches, but for not long enough. And their scatterbrain mistakes are costing them at times. You do wonder, are they panicked enough about it? Because we all keep saying Pats won't go down. Pats can't go down. The players are saying that as well. We hear that from the coaches or managers. Maybe they need to start fearing going down for them to be able to turn things around and change it. Just want to bring you as well, Jamie, through some of the First Division happenings.
Can I just quickly, sorry, before we go First Division, Sean Maguire, I was slagging him during the week on WhatsApp. After the match against Cork, his last home league match, his girlfriend makes her way onto the pitch and they pose for like a photo shoot. He's in the kit, she's dressed up. Lovely girl, I met her actually at the Irish Independent Sports of the Year Awards. But yeah, they were like Posh and Becks, the new Posh and Becks for the League of Ireland. And what was his reply? I'm better looking than Becks. I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. Although Sean and Kevin O'Connor did get to train with their new pressing teammates during the week down in Fota Island for a couple of days. So the best of luck to them in their last couple of games for Cork this week.
Sorry, are you criticising someone for taking photos? You of all people.
Yes.
I'm having absolutely none of that. I'm going to call you up on that, because that's absolutely scandalous. Jamie Moore is sitting in here with his nice little blue FC UK t-shirt. Is that what it is? No, Jack Mills.
It shows how much style Darren Cleary has that he thinks Jack Mills is a brand.
Whatever.
Sorry.
Who cares?
Jack Mills.
Jamie Moore tells me this morning, in almost bragging,
Adidas Superstars,
going to come in to do the show on Sunday and I'm going to be wearing a suit. I said, why are you wearing a suit to do your radio show? Oh, an unnamed brand gave me a free suit. I'm sure Jamie will name it at some stage there.
Thanks, Benetti, for the
suit.
Yeah. Great,
thanks, Benetti, for
I
nothing.
Fantastic.
You sent me absolutely piss all, so I'm not going to thank you for anything. But so Jamie's going to wear a suit, and he's took how many pictures have you taken in that suit you got?
Well, the man in the shop took the
picture. Oh, the man
in the
shop
took a couple of selfies.
So you're slagging Sean Maguire. You had your Snapchat story full of your dodgy suit, and you had your Instagram all over it. Thanks, Benetti, for the threads.
And Twitter and Facebook.
Now, so Sean Maguire is absolutely shouldn't have to take any stick from you.
The fixtures for the Premier Division this weekend is Pats against Derry, 7:45 in Richmond Park. 8 o'clock in Ballybuffet, a long trip for Bowes. Back to action, Bowes against Finn Harps at 8 o'clock. One game on Saturday, Sligo v Drogheda. That is a relegation six-pointer, if ever I heard of one, at 7:45 down in the showgrounds. And also one match on Sunday, game I'm going to try and get to, Bray against Cork in the Carlisle grounds. That is at 4 o'clock. Now, before we speak about the problems in the First Division, we're going to chat a little bit about the football and what's coming up in our First Division focus here on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
This is 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
Now, we are going to begin our first division focus on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast this week. It's Jamie Moore here alongside Darren Cleary. And some big games coming up in the first division this weekend. The results from last weekend: Athlone 1, Shelburne 3 was the final score on the Athlone Town Stadium. Adam Evans, Adam O'Connor and James English with the goals. James English from the penalty spot before Connor Barry got a goal back for Town with 15 minutes remaining. Cabinteely 2, Cove Ramblers 1. A big result for Cabo, their first win since the mid-season break. Not good news though for Cove Ramblers who were trying and are still trying to chase the league leaders Waterford FC. Kieran Marty Waters in the 7th minute and Paul Fox just after half-time had Cabo 2-0 up. Kean Coleman got a goal back for Cove in the 52nd minute before Stephen Christopher was sent off with 18 minutes left. At the UCD Bowl, it finished UCD 0, Longford Town 0. Not an overly brilliant match by all accounts, and a decent result for Longford. Not so good though for UCD as they've fallen further behind Waterford FC. The league leaders, not the league winners just yet, but they probably will be. They finished Waterford FC 2, Wexford FC 1, two of the rebranded clubs in the first division names-wise. Wexford actually took the league through new signing Dean Kelly just before half time, but a double from David McDade from the penalty spot in the 59th minute, and Marco Sullivan with the winner in the 67th minute, sees Waterford FC move to the top of the table. All the teams have played 19 matches. Waterford top on 39 points. UCD and Cove, the only teams realistically who can catch them, they're both on 33 points, so 6 points behind the leaders. Of course, you play 28 games in the first division, so 9 matches left to play. The fixtures this weekend on Friday, it's Athlone against Cabinteely at 7:45 in the Athlone Town Stadium. At the same time, Shells host Wexford FC at Talca Park. 2 matches on Saturday, 7:15 in St Colman's Park, Cove against UCD. It's second v third. Massive game for both teams. Really, neither can afford to lose the match, and both teams really need to win. While Longford host Waterford at 7:30 at the City Calling Stadium. We'll begin our preview of the games this weekend now and go into focus firstly with a big match on Friday evening. It's Athlone Town against Cabinteely in the Athlone Town Stadium. It's a 7:45 kickoff, and we're delighted to welcome the Cabinteely defender Kevin Knight to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast for the first time. Kev, thanks for joining us. A good win last week, a 2-1 over Cove Ramblers. As I said, the first win following the mid-season break. Longford beat you 1-0, Wexford beat you 1-0, and you were hammered 3-0 by Waterford the first game after the break. So just give us the thoughts on that win over Cove and the importance of it.
Yeah, it was a good win. A badly needed win as well. I think the break is a curse as well as a blessing, because I don't think many teams come back top of their game from the break, and as well as it is needed, all right, but as well it's also a hindrance. But I'm just delighted we got the win, and hopefully we can just push on and keep getting the 3 points and build ourselves up.
Kev, the goals were very well timed. The first one coming in the first minute through Kieran Marty Waters, who's been one of your best players, if not your best player this season. And then young Paul Fox got what turned out to be the winner in the 47th minute. Cove got a goal back and then had a man sent off. So you guys managed to hang on okay, despite them getting a goal back quite soon after you guys had gone 2-0 up.
Yeah, well, what can I say? That Marty's a goal scorer, and he can score from anywhere. So as soon as he won the ball just outside the box, I was thinking he was going to hit it, and he did. And sure enough, he scored straight away, which is always going to put us on the front foot. And then straight away in the second half, we got another one from Paul Fox. He's only a young lad as well, and he does it all the time in training, so I was delighted for him. And turned out to be the winner, so it's a great debut for him. Fair play to him. And but yeah, they got a goal back, and I think a few people started to get a bit shaky, but we held on, which is what we're trying to do. It's what we're trying to build on and see out games, and just, you know, hold on to 3 points instead of throwing them away. Like, we have a few games previous, but I'm delighted we got the 3 points. We needed it badly, so hopefully it's a corner that we're turning now, and we can just keep pushing on.
The focus now, Kev, is on a trip to Athlone Town this coming Friday. It's a 7:45 kickoff at the Athlone Town Stadium. Athlone, of course, in the middle of this investigation from the FAI about the alleged match fixing, so probably not a good time for them. They've won only 4 matches all season and 19 played. Unclear where the club is going under Roddy Collins and exactly what's going to happen. What's your overall views on facing them on Friday?
Personally, myself, I don't usually take into consideration what's happening off the pitch. I usually just look at the team we're playing, look at the players I'm playing against, specifically the player I'm playing against, and just try win that battle first of all. And I don't mind what's going on outside the pitch. It might have a positive effect on their players. It might have a negative effect. You just never know. They could come out swinging and bash us 4-0, or they could come out dragging their feet and we could beat them 4-0. So you can never really take into account consideration what's happening off the pitch. So I just try to say that to the players. Don't take it for granted and play them as if you would any other team, no matter what's happening.
One man, Kev, who's going to try and help you do that is new signing Ryan Swan. A good relationship with the director of football and first team manager there, Pat Devlin, would have been with Pat at UCD and moved across to Exeter. Things didn't work out there, so Ryan is home. Very quick, and a man who I'm sure can get you goals. What's the thoughts on his signing? I know he's been training with the club for a while, but now he's officially a Cabinteely player and surely in line to play against Athlone on Friday.
Yeah, Swanny's with he was with UCD actually, yes, and a lot of our players were with UCD, so he's not just a new boy, he's a familiar face. We all know him, played against him, and most of the lads have played with him, and Pat Devlin's coached him, so we all know what he can do. So and he's been training with us, so I know what he can do. So he's a good player, he's a good goal scorer as well, so we'll just see what Pat Devlin has to say, whether he's going to put him straight in or what the story is, we don't know, but Pat is the boss man, so we wait for him to see, but I'd be surprised if he wasn't.
Finally, Kev, just on the season overall, if we were to look at the league table for Cabinteely, it reads better than it has done in previous seasons. 98 matches played, 6 wins, 6 draws and 7 defeats, scored 25, conceded 24 goals, 24 points, so between yourselves, Longford and Shells, who were in 4th, 5th and 6th in the table, there's only a couple of points between you, and you're not going to be caught by Athlone or Wexford. So is the aim to try and catch one of those teams and finish in the top half, which would be a good consolidation given the club finished bottom in the previous two seasons and didn't win too many matches overall?
Yeah, as I said, it's been a positive season all around for us when you take into consideration the past couple of seasons. This season has been outstanding in comparison, and we just look to build on it every game. Every point is another step towards achievement. We're trying to get as high as we can up the table, obviously, but when you compare it to what it was the last couple of seasons, it's phenomenal how far we've come. And that's all down to the players and the coaching staff and the manager. It's the promotion. The way the whole club's being run is just, it's all positive, and I'm delighted to be involved with it. I really am.
Yeah, that's Cabinteely defender Kevin Knight speaking to myself, Jamie Moore, on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. First division focus this week. You'll find us on 98FM.com, the 98FM Sport iTunes channel, and also on our app, which you can get on Google Play or in the App Store each and every Wednesday. That's Athlone against Cabinteely, 7:45 on Friday. At the same time in Dublin, just around the corner from us here in 98FM, it's Shells against Wexford. An important game for both clubs. Shelburne have really improved since the mid-season break, in fairness to Owen Heary and his team. And we're delighted now to welcome an attacker who scored in their most recent win, Adam Evans, to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. Adam, thanks very much for joining us. Firstly, let's just talk about the form since the mid-season break. We spoke to Owen in around the time of the break, and things hadn't gone too well. But since then, things have been very good. A 2-1 win over UCD, a 1-0 victory over Cove, a 1-1 draw against the league leaders Waterford, and then you've gone and beaten Athlone 3-1 last weekend. You got yourself on the score sheet in that game. So things looking up for the men in red, Adam.
How's it going, Jamie? Yeah, I think things have been looking really good since the break. I think it's about time we got a good run of results and performances. It was maybe good to come back from the break with playing against the three teams at the top of the league, with Cove, Waterford and UCD, and we showed that we can match them, and with the results that we got.
Let's talk, Adam, about that victory in Athlone. Athlone, of course, in crisis with the match-fixing investigation ongoing and very poor crowds down there. Not sure exactly what's going on, but from your point of view, you opened the scoring in the 20th minute. Adam O'Connor on 34 and a James English penalty in the 73rd minute secured a really good win, Adam. So talk us through your goal and the importance of another win overall, because you're now really starting to climb that table.
Yeah, it was a good performance all around from all of the lads. I think we had to go down there knowing that we had 3 good results against the teams that are top in the division. So we had to go down there knowing that we had to perform the same, because with the run we're on, we wanted to keep it going. The first goal came early enough, which is me. Luckily, a cross came in from the right and I just managed to get a touch on it. And just from then, we sort of lifted our game for the rest of it. And it was an easy enough win, but it was a good performance all around.
Adam, is there any particular reason you can put your finger on to the change in form since the break? Because before the break, things hadn't gone well. Like, if we look at the league table overall, it's 7 wins in 19 matches. 3 of those wins have come in your last 4 matches. So something clearly has changed to improve the form.
Yeah, I think we just didn't get that really run of wins or stuff like that. Sometimes we had great performances and we just couldn't score. And sometimes we just weren't getting the luck. But I think we had a game before, just before the break against Longford, when we were down to 9 men. And I think that really showed the character in the team, because it's a great dressing room and we are down to 9 men and we got a result and stayed nil off. And I think from then, I think we've just sort of pushed on, and obviously things are going well now.
Back now on the next league game, Adam, at home to Wexford this coming Friday. It's a 7:45 kickoff at Talca Park, and Wexford have improved in recent matches. They are still at the bottom of the table, but they've picked up a couple of wins and are starting to improve, even though 2 wins in 19 matches is still a really poor return. What's your thoughts on facing Wexford this Friday?
Yeah, as I said, we need to go into that game just like we did at Lone. Obviously, they're at the lower part of the table, and these are the games where we really need to push on and get our points, because, as I said, there's only one team going up, and last time we went down to Wexford was probably one of the low points of the season. It was probably our worst performance as a group, and nothing really clicked that night, so we really want to make up for that and hopefully get the win.
Adam, just to look at the league table, you're fourth at the moment. It's 26 points you're on. Longford a point behind you. Cabinteely a point behind you. So it's a tight cluster of teams there. You're 13 points behind Waterford, so you're not going to get promoted. But it's a 7-point gap to the top three. There is no playoffs, of course, but it's just a case of trying to win games game by game and finish as high up as you can, and then try and carry that momentum into next season when there will be the playoffs.
Yeah, there has been a bit of a gap opened up on the table. Sort of from us to third place, that's all we can look forward to now with Cove and UCD. We need to catch up with them as quick as we can. Like, but as you said, yeah, maybe it is a bit too late, but if we aim for third, second now and catch them two teams, you never know what could happen. So there is sort of a gap now with us. Longford and Cabinteely are around us, so our aim is to get away from them as quick as we can, and they're coming up in the next few games, so we need to be looking forward to them games and looking forward to getting the results.
Adam, finally, overall on the first division, how difficult is it to keep yourselves motivated when, you know, if the playoffs were on now, you'd be 7 points away from the playoffs, you'd have 8 or 9 matches left to go, and there would be a real battle on to try and get a spot in that top three. It's not the case this season. A disaster from the FAI's point of view in that decision, but that's what it is, and everyone's getting on with it. But is it hard to keep yourselves motivated and keep things going, knowing that really you're not playing for anything this season?
Yeah, it is a tough one. Like, everyone knew at the start of the season only one team was going up, and it was a bit hard. It can be a bit hard when gaps start appearing at the table, but we have the right people in the dressing room with the management and all the experienced lads they just make sure to point on the next game and whoever's ahead of you in the table. All we can do is from now on is just perform and get the best that we can out of each other. And if we get the points, you never know where we could end up. A freak thing could happen, but we just want to aim for who's ahead of us. And at the moment, that's UCD and Cove. If we get there, then we'll walk from there. But there's a lot of things to play for. There's spots to play for. And next year, everyone's playing for something. So I think everyone has their own way of keeping themselves motivated. And hopefully that will work out for us.
That is the Shelburne attacker, Adam Evans, speaking to Jamie Moore on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast this week, looking ahead to Shells against Wexford, which is on in Talca Park this coming Friday at 7:45. If you're around Dublin and you're not going to a game in the Premier League, the only game in Dublin in the Premier League involves St Pat's in a home match against Derry City. Get down to Talca and support the Reds under Owen Heary. On to Saturday now, it's Cove against UCD at 7:15. It's second against third, a crucial game for both teams. And we're delighted to welcome the UCD defender Dan Tobin back to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. Dan Tobin, welcome to 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. Thanks very much for joining us. Fair to say this is the proverbial six-pointer. It's UCD in second against Cove in third. Both teams on 33 points. And given Waterford are 6 ahead of both of you, 9 matches left to play, this is a big, big match for both teams, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge game for both teams, Jay. Losing the game would give Waterford the opportunity to go 9 points ahead with 8 games to go, and being honest, that gap would probably be too much to claw back, so it really is a must-win game for us.
Dan, we'll focus more on that game in a moment, just to assess your league form since the summer break. It's not been very good. A 2-1 loss to Shells, and then you beat the team ahead of you, Waterford, 3-2. You closed the gap to 4 points, and the race really looked on. But since then, two scoreless draws against Wexford, who are really struggling at the bottom, and Longford, who, under new manager, got a point at the bowl last time out. So, not the ideal form, Dan. Any particular reason for it?
I think the problem's been we haven't had one game where we've been good in both an attacking and a defensive sense. Obviously, we had a few games there, 3-3 draw with Cavan Teely and a 3-2 win against Waterford, where we were managing to get the goals but couldn't keep the defence tight. And then the last 2 weeks, 0-0 draws. Obviously, we got the clean sheets, but the lads couldn't find the back of the net. So it's just about finding that balance between attack and defence.
No goals in two games either, and the Longford game, particularly on Friday, I know was a frustrating affair for everybody involved at UCD, and to see Waterford picking up wins and picking up points as well, it must be quite frustrating to know that you had the gap down to 4 and now it's up to 6, and with the game starting to run out, you really need to make sure that their lead, Waterford's lead, isn't extended anymore.
Yeah, consistency has been our biggest problem all season, to be honest, Jay. I think we've only managed back-to-back wins twice, which kind of says it all. Obviously, we're a very young team this year. I think Noah Corbett's our oldest player at 22 or 23, and with a young team, you're going to get inconsistency. But I think that if we can win our next 2 or 3 games, we will go on to finish the season very strong.
You make the trip down to St. Colman's Park in Cove for a 7:15 kickoff this coming Saturday evening. Stephen Hennessy's team have really impressed in the last couple of years since he's return to the club. What are your overall views on the match? They beat you at the UCD Bowl as well in the most recent meeting, a 1-0 win for them, and you've also played them in Cove. They won that match 1-0, so against your promotion rivals, and Cove being one of those, you've lost both games. You want to make sure it doesn't mean 3 in a row for them. What do you need to do to make sure that doesn't happen?
Yeah, obviously St. Colman's Park is a very tough place to go and play. I think up until recently they hadn't lost a game there in over a year, and obviously the last 2 or 3 seasons our record against Cove hasn't been great. But we know that on our day we're capable of beating anyone. It's just a question of whether we can turn up and play to our full potential for 90 minutes.
Cove, Dan, are quite a direct team. They look to get the ball in the box, but they've got pace in the wide areas and pace up front. How do you guys go about setting up to deal with that in St. Colman's Park as well? I know you've been playing 3-5-2 a little bit recently and playing with two strikers, but that does sometimes leave space for the other team to attack down the sides.
Yeah, I think I'd get in a bit of trouble today if I told everyone how we're going to set up for one of the biggest games of our season. But now, in preparation for these games, we focus on ourselves more than the opposition. We know that if we can get things right ourselves, we'll have a good chance of winning the game. So that's where our focus will be in training this week.
You're generally a right back, Dan, even though I know you played some of your schoolboy football as a right-sided centre back. Playing as a wing back in the 3 at the back role, how have you found that? You wouldn't be a traditional type winger. But how have you found the transition in the last 5, 6 or 7 games from being a full back in the team every week to now being a wing back in the team every week?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be viewed as the most adventurous full back. I'd say my style would be more similar to the likes of Phil Neville than a Kyle Walker, but now playing a wing back really has helped to develop the attacking side of my game. And in terms of the new formation, obviously it's worked really well for us in some games. I think the Waterford game being a good example of that, and then other games it hasn't worked as well, but at the end of the day it's all a learning curve.
And finally, Dan, just the season overall with the league table looking the way it is, a 6-point gap with Waterford at the top, and they've got a game against Longford also on Saturday night, so who knows what can happen in that game. Longford haven't lost yet, a win and a draw under their new manager Neil Fenn. Is it just the option and the case to win your own games and see what Waterford do? Because if you come in and look on live score and you've not picked up another win or even a draw and they've won, the gap is up to 7 or 8 or 9 points, which makes things very difficult then with games starting to run out.
Yeah, I think focusing on your own performance is all you can do in this league, Jay. I think we still have Cove to play twice and Waterford once down there, so they're obviously huge games, but we know that if we can put a good run together between now and the end of the season, we'll be there or thereabouts, so that's what we'll be aiming to do.
That is the UCD defender Dan Tobin looking ahead to Cove against UCD. It's on Saturday night in St. Colman's Park at 7:15. 15 minutes later, another important game at the top. It's Longford against Waterford, the leaders. That's a 7:30 kickoff down in the City Calling Stadium.
This is 98FM's League of Ireland podcast.
98FM's Darren Cleary still beside me here on our League of Ireland podcast. And Darren, I spoke there at length with three of the players about the football, but unfortunately, again, in the league, we're not speaking about the football. In terms of Bray, not much more we can say apart from that we've spoken to the PFAI, to Steve McGuinness, and to some of the Bray players who were due to speak to us, and they've said due to the ongoing situation and with the PFAI solicitor Stuart Gilhooly involved, they've been advised not to do media interviews, so the Bray thing is where it's at. But they've no game this weekend. The Cork match on Sunday week is their first, on Sunday this weekend, should I say, is their first match, so we'll see if they take to the field for that one. The PFAI solicitor did not rule out strike action as a last resort, but we do have an update on that loan. The PFAI and the manager himself, Darren Roddy Collins, have been speaking today, and Roddy doesn't feel there's too much evidence against the players in question. Of course, they are innocent until if they're proven guilty. And it seems to be all centering on this three-man FAI committee who gave their opinion on if people on the Athlone team did things purposely to let the other team score. The players apparently handed over phone records and bank records, and according to the PFAI, there was no incriminating evidence from those. So you would wonder if these guys are going to actually, in the end of things, be found guilty, because I think Athlone could take this all the way to the Court of Arbitration for Sport if they don't get the outcome they want. And Roddy himself says he feels it's going to be impossible to prove any wrongdoing.
For me, it reminds me of Jim Gavin and Dermot Connolly in the football, where Dermot Connolly did something wrong, but Jim Gavin was confident that despite the fact he did something wrong, there was a legal loophole to get him off, and that being it was brought by the attention of Sky. So they would have been more than happy to fight on a technicality, despite the fact they knew something is wrong. Just because you cannot prove beyond reasonable doubt wrongdoing doesn't mean that wrongdoing didn't occur. It's very, very difficult to prove what happened or who was responsible or if the three people that have been charged are responsible. But UEFA have overwhelming evidence that match fixing or match manipulation did occur based on what happened in the markets on that game. What happened in that game was known by some that it was going to happen. It's very, very difficult to prove who knew what and how, but that doesn't mean that they didn't know, and it doesn't mean the match wasn't manipulated. It is the FAI and this independent committee's responsibility to try and take charges against those they feel is at fault.
Yeah, I agree.
It's very, very easy for the FAI and for Roddy and for whoever else to come out and say, good luck proving it, lads. It's going to be very, very difficult to do. They have done an investigation. Let them talk to these people, bring the charges, and wait then until you've seen the evidence before you criticise the evidence. I think the PFAI are too mouthy on this at the moment. I think they're too critical. I don't think they need to be giving a running commentary to the media at every step of the way and saying this is impossible to prove. I think they should look at the evidence and weigh it up. And just because maybe the evidence isn't overwhelming or maybe it isn't ironclad doesn't mean that wrongdoing occurred. The statement here I want to bring you from the Athlone release last week. The board and the management committee of Athlone AFC are disappointed with the FAI's decision to bring charges against members of the club as part of the investigation into alleged match fixing. It is important to note that no finding has been made against the club itself, something which Athlone Town AFC welcomes. In recent hours, the club has received documentation from the FAI detailing the charges it has brought against certain individuals. We understand that is three individuals, two on the playing staff and one on the non-playing staff. Continuing the statement, Athlone Town AFC's board is currently in the process of assessing that material, which they received, of course, from the FAI. A further statement will be released after the basis of the charges have been fully examined. The club also awaits the production of all the evidence related to the allegations the individuals have been charged with from the FAI in advance of the disciplinary hearing scheduled to be heard by an independent panel in early August. This is the part, Jamie, I'm trying to make. While I understand people are entitled to their good name, and maybe the disciplinary panel cannot beyond reasonable doubt prove that these people are guilty of any wrongdoing, why not, Athlone, wait until you've seen the evidence? Don't release a statement to say you're assessing the material. Same for the PFAI. I don't understand why everyone is at a rush to talk without reading. Sit, reflect, read, find out what's going on.
Yes, now it is time for my favourite part of 98FM's League of Ireland podcast, bar of course getting to spend an hour and a half every week in the company of Mr. Darren Cleary. It's our tweets of the week. I'm going to bring you the best possible tweet of the week I've ever seen. From Backpage Football, a Dundalk scouting report on Champions League opponents Rosenberg was found on the side of the road in Lucan. Hashtag greatest league in the world. And they have a photo of the front page of the report, which has the crest of both clubs, and they have Information on some of the opposition players. Nicholas Bentner being one, number 9. Last name Bentner, first name Nicholas, date of birth, place of birth, passport country, strengths, weaknesses. His weakness, Darren, if
very slow.
He lacks pace, so the centre-back can afford to get tight to him. He doesn't make runs in behind because of his role in the team. He's not hard-working, so we might have the opportunity at times to build out from the back. So that was one. Another one from me, from Alex. It's a fantastic picture of the Galway manager Shane Keegan on his knees, not sure if he's saying a prayer or what he's doing. It says 3 goals and 3 points, can't ask for much more. I think Shane Keegan should get on his knees and pray every week. Hashtag greatest league in the world. We've all seen this photo of the Bray midfielder Gary McCabe and two of his teammates, Aaron Green and Conor Kenna, on Instagram, on Gary McCabe's Instagram story when the news broke during the week about Bray and the players. The caption, Darren:
we're for sale.
Well, according to Dennis O'Connor, Gary, you're not for sale anymore.
No, you're not for sale anymore. I don't have a tweet of the week, Jamie, but I have one that reminds me of the Nicholas Bentner. I remember going to an event at the Aviva Stadium a couple of years ago, and it was not long after Ireland played Gibraltar. And I can't remember the exact score, but Ireland must have put 6 or 7 past Gibraltar on that particular day. And I remember the Gibraltar board, the tactics board, was still left up with the sheets of paper that you flip over in the marker. And it was in red writing: Ward, Stephen, underline, weak link, no pace, no vision, can't pass, attack down the left. Gibraltar were convinced they could get at us by going after Stephen Ward. And look at him now.
That is it for another week on 98FM's League of Ireland podcast. Darren Cleary, sir, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jamie.
Darren will be back with me on Wednesday. I'll be at Tallaght Stadium on Thursday night watching Shamrock Rovers against Mladá Boleslav. If you miss anything, you'll catch up with it on the podcast section, in the podcast section of 98FM.com. And we'll have web stories and individual bits with all the players from this week's podcast on the website between now and the games on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. Have a good week, folks. And best of luck to all the Irish clubs involved in Europe. See you later. Bye-bye.
For up-to-the-minute League of Ireland coverage, see 98fm.com/sport. 98FM's League of Ireland podcast is back next Wednesday. And every Wednesday on 98fm.com, the 98FM app, and on the 98FM Sport iTunes channel. 98FM.